If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
And a pleasant good evening to you out there in the greater Louisville area or wherever you're listening around the world on ESPNLouisville.com. I'm KK Kevin Kirstein here for Inside Churchill Downs. Darren Rogers will join me here in a second. And the reason why Darren's a little bit delayed is because guess what? Get your pens, get your papers, get your BrizNet Pass performances. We have a massive single six carryover for closing day of the 38-day spring meet tomorrow for a spectacular 12-race program beneath the Twin Spires. 327 in the carryover, $327,000 of free money out there. We'll be talking single six throughout tonight's program. We'll be joined by Vice President of Racing, Ben Huffman. Talk about some of the great performances that we had at this meet. Also talk about this great single six sequence tomorrow on the program. 12 races tomorrow at Churchill Downs for closing day. We'll get underway at 12:45 p.m. Have three stakes races on the card. We have the $120,000 Kelly's Landing for sprinters. Also have 2 2-year-old races on the card, the $125,000 Debutante and the $125,000 Grade 3 Bashford Manor. Spectacular racing program tomorrow. We just finished just about 3 minutes ago here at Churchill Downs on the 11 race program. We had Brian Hernandez Jr., who scored his 600th career victory at Churchill Downs in race number 10 for trainer Dallas Stewart. It's been one of those meets that it's been a lot of fun performances. We had the Kentucky Derby that was just, you know, a few weeks ago, and it's crazy that this meet is coming to an end here now. Now 37 days into the meet tomorrow with closing day. Ben Huffman's here with me right now, and as we're waiting on Darren to finish up the press release. And Ben, I'll tell you what, you and your racing office staff did a spectacular job the entire meet, drawing some very competitive races and full fields all around.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Thanks for inviting me in tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. No, I mean, We have a lot of good, strong spring meets every year. So I've worked here a long time, but this by far, I have to say, is the strongest spring meet that I can remember in quite some time. We're just kind of over the moon with the success of the spring meet, and major, major horses have started here this spring.
And we had, you know, going on the Derby week, which was just a spectacular week of racing that we had here at Churchill. And then we moved on through the meet, and with Stephen Foster Knight being as impressive with Seeking the Soul and Elate in the Fleur-de-Lis. And I'll tell you what, these Kentucky horsemen, every time you walk around the backstretch back there, they're just grinning ear to ear. And I think they just can't wait to get back here for the September meet. And it's not only the big races either. It's the claiming races, too, that horsemen are just diving in. And we saw a 30-way shake earlier this afternoon on a program for a horse.
No question about it. Just speaking of our trainers and the looks on their faces, and we I don't know that we talk about this enough, but our Kentucky, Churchill, Keeneland, Kentucky trainer colony is second to none. They're really good horsemen that we're so fortunate to have base here. They have homes here. And for them to experience some of these higher purses, and they're winning tons of races, and we've had some of our guys have hellacious meets. So it's really fun to see our guys, you know, kind of win these races as these purses are continue to climb with how business started this spring. So I'm thrilled for our guys.
Yeah, we'll see the racing in Kentucky on Sunday shift to Ellis Park down in Henderson, Kentucky, but we'll be right back around with the 11-day September meet after tomorrow's card, which will be a very fun meet. 3 weeks of racing, a lot of fun action, a lot of horses that will get ready here in our races for the Breeders' Cup, which will just come up sooner than we know it in that first weekend in November at Santa Anita that was just announced earlier this week. I mean, we've had some stellar trainers that have done just a phenomenal job the entire meet. Not only Steve Asmussen, who is running away with the trainer title, you have Eddie Keneally, who's had a phenomenal meet. Brad Cox, once again, has had a great meet. You have some of the trainers, Dallas Stewart, just spectacular performances. We're joined by Darren Rogers now, and Darren, we're just talking about some of these horsemen that have just been grinning ear to ear with all of the purse structure that we had this meet, and just some great performances by their horses as well.
It really has been a tremendous meet, and like you said, Steve Asmussen, his old record, I think, was a few years ago during a 38-day meet of 130 starters and change. He's saddled 166 horses coming into today. So he's going to eclipse 170, 175 when it's all said and done, and that's just an astounding number. Looking at some of these horsemen that have taken advantage of it with select starts, Asmussen with 27 wins, Brad Cox, Keneally was on fire today. What a performance today by the two-year-old in the fourth race today. Was just a slipping through on the rail, Noose under Corey Lannery. That 6-furlong race, Ben, over the years has annually produced graded stakes performers, and last year it was tight 10. He finished second in the Sanford and the Iroquois, but dating back the last 15 years, you've got some grade one winners. First Samurai, Pyro, you also had This Sky Is No Limit, Ski Captain, Maybe So Maybe Not, Batuman. That was also a Keneally. Those were all winners of the final 6-furlong maiden race of the spring meet. It's a good race.
It is a good race. And I can remember back when I first started as a racing official under the late, great Jerry Botts as racing secretary, he always finished the race meet with the first maiden 2-year-old filly and 2-year-old colt 6-furlong maiden races at the end of the spring meet. And I've kind of carried on that tradition. And when you really look at some of the pedigrees in the 6-furlong maiden, they are different than the 4.5 and the 5 furlongs that we see earlier in the meet. And some guys kind of wait. They've got the route pedigrees, and it's a good starting point late June, early July for some of these pedigrees.
Yeah,
and it does work. It just works.
Yeah, so those 3/4, we were talking earlier, Indian Charlie dropped by the office, and we were chatting about this race in advance, and we were talking about Lucas's horse, Kowalski, and I know KK on this show last week was talking about how Lucas was very high on this horse, and the horse ran very similar to the same way Will Take Charge did a few years ago. Came up a little short first time out, but came back at Saratoga, and I think he paid $27 and change when he aired at Saratoga. So
that
keep
was,
an eye on Kowalski.
That was an impressive race. He broke poorly today. That was part of his problem today.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets his gate work figured out and can break a little sharper next time, I think he could be really nice. That was an impressive run. I mean, he was dead last.
And Elusive De Oro for Asmussen was second in there. Those are some horses. Noose, Kowalski, Elusive De Oro, definitely some ones to keep an eye on. Danny Pish's horse ran strong for the placing up there, running fourth. Some other horsemen I thought that have had great meets. Tom Amos is always high percentage. How good's Al Stahl been? Little Al, when he runs his races, you better keep an eye out for him. He doesn't start often, though, does he, Ben?
No.
He's not a racing secretary's best friend.
Well, I'm not going to say much there, Darren, but the one thing, when he is one of those guys, when he brings them over, they're ready, and he just doesn't mess around. So he had a strong spring meet, which is not unusual. The one thing that keeps jumping out at me is Eddie Keneally's had 18 or 19 wins here, and he doesn't have a chance to be leading trainer at the spring meet.
That's how about
just,
that?
That is so powerful. That just shows you how powerful Asmussen stable is right now, and how he's rolling. But to win 18, 19 races at a spring meet and not be good enough.
Yeah, but we gave Eddie Barn of the Week this week, so he gets to use that Porcini gift card for Barn of the Week and the pizza party. But it's just amazing. Yeah, he's on fire and no shot at leading trainer.
Kevin, you just wrote a note this week on the Greg Foley barn, how the Foleys, especially Greg's been a top 10 trainer in Churchill Downs history, always in the mix within the top 10. But he's dealing with claiming horses, and you can have your ups and downs along the way. This has been a particularly strong meet for the Foleys, winning, 17-18% of the time. But it's the first time they've eclipsed a certain mark in recent years, and it just goes to show you how much money's being spread around.
Yeah, their first time in 10 years they got over the $300,000 mark here at the spring meet. And, it's big for a stable like that who they're working with a lot of the workman-type horses, a lot of the claiming-type horses, and they're with the purse structure how we have it now, courtesy of Derby City Gaming, it's big for a stable like that. They won their eighth race yesterday with Myositis Mystique. The Exacta came back $156. I'm just saying, but it's one of those barns where, and we saw Vicky Foley with the horse that has been stabled here, Hog Creek Hustle,
Grade One winner,
first Grade One winner for Vicky Foley. So it's been good for Team Foley here at Churchill.
Ben, who are we've talked about this. Who are some of the young trainers that are rising up that you think have a bright future, or they've been welcome new additions to the training ranks here?
Well, you've kind of put me on the spot here, but
of course
I'll do the best I can. I'm thinking we've had
Jason Barkley, for example.
They're easy to point out because they've had successful meets. Matt Shire had a great win today. He's been on his own for a couple years ago. And
where did he come from?
Let's see, Matt Shire. He was a Ken McPeak assistant for a while, and we've had him stabled over at Trackside for a couple years now. He's doing great. Jordan Blair, I think Jordan Blair was another Kenny McPeak assistant. Mm-hmm. He's at Trackside. He's doing really well. Probably the youngest, newest guy that had the biggest splash this spring was Jason Barkley.
Yeah.
His father is Jeff Barkley, kind of grew up at Ellis Park. Mm-hmm. And he's a graduate of University of Louisville Equine Administration Program. I think he worked for maybe Pletcher and Zito and a few
Definitely
of the New York
Zito,
guys.
Yeah.
But he spent the winter at Oaklawn, came here, and his stable's growing quickly, and he's had a strong spring meet. He's a good new addition.
We can't forget, I think he still qualifies, inside Churchill Downs' own Norm Cassie.
There
How about
you
go. That? He got his first graded stakes win this year with
the regret.
Hard Legacy, right?
Correct.
Yep.
I think she's heading out to Del Mar on Pacific Classic Day out there for the
Del Mar Oaks.
So I think that's her next plans, which will be, I think it's a Breeders' Cup win you're in.
Speaking of that, it made me think of just randomly was Vicky Foley. I know has often sent some of the G. Watts Humphrey horses out there to Del Mar. Vicky Oliver, rather. And the last race today. Rafael Bejarano comes in. He's riding tomorrow at Churchill. Of course, we have two California shippers for the stakes action. We're going to preview tomorrow's single six jackpot in just a bit. But he decides to ride one race today, and it's in the last race. And he gets up and wins the last race for Vicky Oliver and paid $14 and change at odds of 6-1. Rides one horse today,
and he's won more than 400 races here at Churchill Downs. People,
remember
him. I got a couple of texts. They're like, "Oh, Bejarano's back in town." They're excited to see him back in town. And,
well, I hope y'all bet today, because today was a good day to get down on Rafi.
Yeah, and he was supposed to ride one other, and I think his plane got delayed, and so that's why he couldn't ride the first timer for Bob Hess earlier in the card. But hey, ride one, win one. That's a good day for him.
So that single six jackpot, again, if you're tuning in late, and by the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Derby Media. That's my / Churchill Downs communications account. Then you have at Horse Racing KK. But if you're on Twitter, the reason I was late, I was sending out a news release on the carryover. And we posted that on Twitter, along with free BrizNet past performances, a link to the six-race sequence on Saturday. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, try and break down those six races. We'll utilize some inside knowledge in handicapping from the racing office and Ben Huffman. And but really, it's a challenging sequence. The carryover, 327,000. You figure three times that at least will probably be bet into the pool in new money. So it's well over $1 million tomorrow, up for grabs. Closing day at Churchill Downs, races 7 through 12. If you don't have any plans, it's a great day of racing, and it could be profitable. Remember, the single six is only 20 cents. So you can play multiple combinations at an affordable price, and we've got to give the money back. So it's all up for grabs. You don't need to worry about having the only single ticket. It's all being paid out tomorrow on closing day.
Attention, Drew Diener. 20 cents. 20 cents, Drew Diener.
Well, we know Coop's here. Coop's already putting together his ticket with Mark Blakenbaker, and you know, I might have to partake. And but anyway, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I want to talk a little bit about this meet. We've had, you know, let's go back to the Derby. You got to start with the Derby. It will not be forgotten anytime soon. It, you know, controversial outcome with maximum security around the final turn, veering out. And impeding War of Will and Long Range Toddy, and was easily the best horse in the race that day. Let's not deny it. He ran a winning race, but War of Will might have been, you know, denied an he was denied an opportunity. Could he have won? Who knows? Only the racing gods know. But that was clearly, and the Derby is always going to be the race of the meet. It's always going to be the race of the meet. But we've had some really, really good action here. KK and Ben Huffman, if you had another race that jumps to mind right off the bat, what race might it be? Because I've got one in mind.
Oh, let's see if we think the same one.
Okay.
Mine would be the Pat Day Mile when Mr. Money, coming out performance at 7-1, just simply ran them off their feet that day, and he's really turning into one of those three-year-olds that I think we need to watch. And you know, we're going to see him next, maybe in the Indiana Derby. He just breezed this morning, just a real easy maintenance work. But his performance in that Pat Day Mile, you know, maybe because I had a couple of shekels on him, maybe because we gave him out on the show, but you know, anytime that we mention this meet in the next few months, I'm going to remember that race.
Yeah, Mr. Money was dynamite in the Pat Day Mile. Ben, do you have one that comes to mind? I've got one, but
There's many, but the one that is on the front of my mind is Mattoli's victory in the Churchill Downs.
Oh,
first year's a Grade One. Basically, that race put him on the map as a top horse, and then he went to New York in the Met Mile on Belmont Day. And he won that race. That was a good a Grade One mile race you'll ever see, and he proved his worth that the Churchill Downs was no fluke. That's one of the best, you know, 7/8 mile horses going right now.
Oh yeah,
that was. But very, we could probably talk about 4, 5, 6 others just like that. But that was one that comes to my mind.
I'm gonna go a little more meat. That's not meat and potatoes. Wasn't a Grade One race. I'm going to go with last week's Roxalana, the showdown between Mia Mischief and Covfefe. Very rarely do we see these types of races live up to their billing, and those two absolutely threw down in what admittedly is a prep for future major engagements at Saratoga. Last week, I just thought, you know, and Mia Mischief, the four-year-old filly, just got the best of the three-year-old filly down on the inside, but neither disgraced themselves. You know, and Awestruck came up and nailed Covfefe for second, but I really thought that was a top-notch race. And to think that was the Roxalana, an overnight stake, the 10th running for a filly that was trained by your dad.
That's right, Roxolana. She was trained by my father and
Blackie Huffman,
and yeah. She won what is currently the Eight Bells when it was the La Tourraine. I think she had that stakes record for several years, and hence that's why we named this little overnight stake after her. But no, to see that 3-year-old filly and Mia Mischief slug it out from the 3/8 pole about all the way to the wire for an overnight stake. I mean, a lot of us had goosebumps watching it, and I still can't believe that they both ran for the purse. I mean, it's a nice purse, $120,000, but
when both of them showed up, you thought one of the two is gonna who's gonna blink.
And I thought somebody would scratch. One of the two would scratch, but they both were doing well. They were both ready for the race, and they came over and. That was a slugfest. I loved watching that race.
How about Bricks and Mortars? What about Bricks and Mortars and the old Forester?
Again, I mean, he's undefeated this year. Strong. I mean, he might be rated one of the top. I think he is the top rated horse in the country right now. So that was an impressive race, the race before the Derby every year.
Any other races come to mind? Who are you most excited about to see run later this summer? There were some performances. One comes to mind for me is the Ian Wilkes 3-year-old filly
with dignity.
Thank you for reaching. See, KK and I have now worked together long enough where he sees me searching my mind. But With Dignity is going to show up next time in the Indiana Oaks. I know she breezes on Sunday for the Indiana Oaks race, and she's one that I'm really excited about, largely due to her breeding. She's a half to McCracken, and who knows, maybe she'll be better than her older brother. I don't know. Look, that's big shoes to fill.
Big shoes.
But, you know, the speed figure that day didn't come back strong. I will say that. The speed figure didn't come back strong, but she sure passed the eye test.
I think that's the most important part about racing. I mean, we're all going to dive in. We're all, handicappers in some way. And a lot of people look at those speed figures. But I think passing the eye test is a big key. What about a stablemate for her and Champagne Anyone for the Wilkes team? She ran a good race in that Kentucky Oaks. It was very sneaky, and I think she'll only be improving as time goes on for that stable. So I think she's one to maybe keep an eye on, too, at Saratoga. And we mentioned earlier this week in the notes that a lot of these horsemen are staying here in Kentucky for the summer and only sending smaller strings up to Saratoga. You're going to have a lot of your regular trainers that you see here at the Churchill Downs Circuit that will run down at Ellis Park. You'll see some of those trainers like Ian Wilkes, Dallas Stewart, who typically go to Saratoga, Brad Cox. They'll have smaller strings up there, but you're going to have a lot of the same racing that we'll see here in Kentucky at Ellis.
And Kentucky racing is on the come, and after we close on Saturday, Ellis Park opens its doors Sunday, where they will have $330,000 in average daily purses. And that's huge, because that's a 40%+ increase from where they were a year ago. And First Post most days is going to be 150. They're going to have a trio of Twilight Friday cards starting at 350 our time out here. It's just a great meet. With 11 stakes races totaling $1 million. And the big one, of course, is the $125,000 groupie doll on August the 11th. But again, Ellis Park getting underway on Sunday. And there's, you're right, a lot of the good horses that we've seen here are going to be sticking around. And I know the 2-year-old program's always strong. Ben, any of the horses this meet that caught your eye, dots next to him?
Yeah, I did.
You know?
The filly Concrete Rose that won the Edgewood.
Yep.
She's 2-for-2 this year on the turf. Rusty Arnold trains her. Her next start's going to be the Belmont Oaks. I think that's next week, $750,000. He was high on her last year, and I thought her race Oaks Day in the Edgewood, that was very impressive, and she did it easy. She went by Newspaper of Record and a couple other really good fillies, and I think that filly's going to go on to do great things the rest of the year also.
Sounds good. KK, I'm going to ask you, because you are Mr. Meat and Potatoes. Claimer of the meat.
Oh, Romani, by far. This is a horse who won the other day for Donnie Habib. And Donnie was literally out of business to start this meet.
Yeah.
No horses left at trackside. And he sent this horse long with James Graham aboard and got back to the winner's circle. This horse is 2 for 3 this meet. And he kept with Donnie. And so, you know, when you see the smaller guys who Donnie's based at trackside, been in this game forever. Mm-hmm. He gallops his own horses. He grooms his own horses. And just those story horses like that just really make you smile when they can jump up on a stage here for an enhanced purse and win and get the guy going, hopefully for a good summer and fall.
It was good to see you talk about these guys getting kickstarted. Dennis Roberson had a couple of winners. I know he's based over
he's
there.
2 for 5 at the meet. I mean,
that's huge for that type of operation. We saw our old friend Grant Forster.
Yeah.
And by the way, his horse is in tomorrow at Churchill. That we had him on when we broadcast live from
Steam Alert.
Dallas Stewart's barn. I have it marked. It's in the fourth race tomorrow. Fourth race, so it's outside the sequence of the single six jackpot. But he's got Iconic, who is a 5-year-old gelding. Remember he said he broke his maiden going long. He was hoping this race, I remember, would be a mile and 3/16. But he's got him. What happened, racing secretary? That race didn't go?
It did not go. It was in the condition book as a mile and 3/16. It was off with 4.
Yeah.
And I like offering those type races, but sometimes they just don't fill. So we
Do you remember what the tag was on that?
It was the same price.
So same
it
price.
Was the same this exact same race. It was in the condition book. 50 claimer, a mile and 3/16 on the dirt. It was off with 4. We brought it back. Somebody, you know, if you shorten it up to a mile and 1/16, I've got a couple, and I didn't want to. Go a whole furlong shorter than for the guys that were pointing for a mile and 3/16. So I kind of compromised, brought it back at a mile and 1/8, and it still took 2 or 3 more days to get a couple more runners for that. Well, actually, we doubled it. It went from 4 to 8.
Yeah, you got 8 in there, so. And Iconic is the 2-horse. Corey Lannery, leading rider, is up. 10-1 on the morning line for you bettors out there. So we'll take a look and see if we can actually get that price. But Grant, won some races. How about another one of our old favorites who had an early celebration today at the track? Merrill Scherer will be turning 80 years old on July the 21st. But, KK, you were involved in helping with a surprise for Merrill today.
Yeah, his son Clay, who's a bloodstock agent based here in Kentucky, came to me about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he said, "Hey, my dad turns 80 in July, and I want to do something at the racetrack with all the family here." And Merrill has 5 sons who are living, and they're all based, you know, around the country. His son Gary is a trainer who's based at Canterbury right now. His son Ryan came in town. Merrill also came in town. He also has another son, Eric, who's on the starting gate. And so he said, "I want to get everyone in town to celebrate Merrill's 80th birthday." So we had this planned, and the biggest key was to get Merrill to the racetrack. And he doesn't come to the races in Kentucky because he lives out, you know, towards Ben's area and in your area of town on the East End. And so I said, "Merrill, I got a reporter here who wants to talk to you about a big story." He said, "Really? There's a reporter who wants to talk to me? Why didn't they want to do it 20 years ago when I was in my prime?" And I said, "Don't ask questions." I said, "Can you come to the Gold Room on Friday at 12:15? "Well, I don't know. I don't have any horses in. I think we're going to scratch our one that we have in there. Maybe I can do it." So finally he committed 2 days ago to be able to do this. This morning he tried to get out of it, and we were able to pull off a big surprise. He had the Shearer clan up there. A lot of his owners were there too. It was really cool to see all the horsemen stop by this afternoon. So good to see, and I think they're still over in the Gold Room right now partying and probably will close down the joint over there.
That's great. Ben, do you have a favorite Merrill Scherer story? He's been a character around here for years. Usually he's when the stable gate opens, he's usually first in line, right? In March after the winter renovations?
Yes. I don't know if I'll be able to tell a couple of stories. The ones are on the front of my mind, but no, I've been working with Merrill Scherer for a lot of years, and I remember when I was a racing secretary at the fairgrounds. I mean, first of all, he's the first one that wants to to be stabled at the fairgrounds when the backside opens. The only problem is we have a whole fall meet here at Churchill Downs to run. So he kind of sometimes leaves early, and we used to battle about that pretty quite often.
Yeah.
But then he would, by the end of the fairgrounds meet, he'd be frustrated, and he'd want to leave there early to open our stable gate up in March. And Churchill won't race until the end of April. But no, he's been a lot of fun, and boy, what a storyteller! I could listen to his stories for hours.
You know what? We need to get Merrill on the show.
Get him on the show.
We'll get him on the show soon.
And he was the first, technically, through the stable gate. He had a horse this year that we had a little bit of a wager going, and it was either Greg Foley or Merrill Shearer. Well, Merrill rode on the same van as Greg did from Fairgrounds because he wanted to have a horse come through that had to go to Lexington to the farm. And so Greg was the first trainer to have horses here, but Merrill pulled the objection. He said, no, I had a horse on that same van, so I can win the bet again this year to have be first on the grounds.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And there's a special edition of Indian Charlie. If you go to IndianCharlie.com, it'll be posted probably tonight saluting Merrill's 80th birthday celebration.
One other quick Merrill story.
Yes.
It just came to me. We've been a lot in stalls here, and I've been working with Steve Hargrave, our stall man. And for whatever reason, the last 10 years or so, we cannot put Merrill in the right barn. For whatever reason, it's always the wrong barn. And we're trying to find him a spot where he's comfortable. He doesn't have to move, but then he asks to be moved. I don't like this. So that's getting a bit old, Merrill.
It's great. It's great. Been doing it for years. I'm Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein. Our special guest tonight is Ben Huffman. We are here at Churchill Downs. We had 11 races today. The 11th and final went off minutes before we came on the air. We have a big mandatory payout in the single six jackpot tomorrow at Churchill Downs for closing day. 12 races on tap starting at 12:45. The single six jackpot north of $300,000. All said and done, it'll be more than $1 million up for grabs tomorrow, so some great racing. Before we preview, and it's coming up real soon, we're going to preview these six races. We talked about, you know, some of the horses. We talked about the trainers. How good is this riding colony right now, Ben? I mean, this has to be the strongest jockey colony in the history of Churchill Downs, like from a day-in, day-out, meet-long basis.
Yes, I would agree with that. I'm thrilled with the riding colony we have here and the trainers. They've got a deep bench to go to, and can't tell you how many days in the racing office a trainer will call asking what time are you going to close. I've called six or seven jocks agents. I can't get a rider yet. Don't draw without me. So when you hear that day in, day out, you know it's a strong, deep riding colony, and it's impressive.
It's good to see Corey Lannery. He has clinched his riding title for the 17th time at Churchill Downs. And, you know, it's been a rough last year for Sealand, but he's, held sway, doing his business. He's earned more than $2.1 million in earnings. Ricardo Santana is the earnings leader with $2.5 million. But he's got about 14-ish less wins than Lannery. I love Santana. I love, Miguel Mena has had a tremendous resurgence this meet. Julian Le Perreux, I don't know if I want to call it a funk, but he wasn't as hot as he was in previous years. And, boy, he is really looking good in the saddle again.
No doubt. No doubt.
Winning races. Gabe Saez has had a tremendous meet. Brian Hernandez, I know you talked about earlier, landing number 600 at Churchill Downs. I love Brian. Tyler Gaffin-Leon is a future superstar. It's great to see him win the Preakness this year, but he's had a great meet. And I love seeing a new addition like Tyler Bayes. Tyler Bayes has really been special. It's deep bench, and then you go all the way down and you look, Sean Bridgmahan, wasn't he the leading rider at Oaklawn?
That was David Cohen. Oh, lean rider at Oakland Park, David Cohen.
Who's won five races here.
He's won five races, and people were raving about him all winter at Oaklawn that he was coming here, but that just shows you the depth of our calling. And one thing, going back to Tyler, what he did here last fall, he came into Keeneland in October for the first time to ride the entire meet, leading rider. That's hard to do. Then he came here, our fall meet at Churchill Downs, leading rider. His first two full meets, I thought that was really impressive, and he's just having a solid meet this spring.
A couple other horses just wanted to touch on. We talked about the two-year-old colt today with News. Are there any two-year-olds that come to mind for you guys that we should keep an eye on? The one that I just was blown away by was that Frank's Rocket for Bill Mott.
Oh yeah, that's
she was a little rocket ship. Hey, she's going to be prominent at Saratoga.
Yeah, she's going to Saratoga next, and you know, as Bill Mott's assistant Kenny McCarthy joked to me the next day, he said, "Yeah, she was probably on that van at the eighth pole going up to Bill's string." Bill doesn't like to keep him long here with me in Kentucky, and she was a very good one. We're going to see one.
We're going to see him tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to see one tomorrow with Steve Asmussen's filly in the debutante. You know, the one that I do want to mention that we didn't get to see, well, we did get to see last week, but we didn't get to see cross the wire officially, is Dennis's Moment for Dale Romans.
Yes.
Who clipped heels, and Robbie Alborado is home recovering with a broken left wrist, but Dennis's Moment seems to be no worse for the wear, and Dale's really raring to go for him at Ellis Park. We'll probably go in a 7/8 race there next month at Ellis, but he seems to be a very special horse for Dale. He's by Tisnow, wants to run all day, and so keep an eye on that one down the road, because I think he could be okay come the fall here at Churchill.
Yeah, that was a really good race, and Dennis's Moment was prominent in there. We had the Tom Amos, first timer, that won. His name's escaping me at the moment, but the Tom Amos 2-year-old, Long Weekend was a very impressive winner, and he was well meant, as we like to say.
Yes, he's a sprinter, I think.
Yeah,
but, you know.
But we're in sprinting season.
Yeah, we're looking for the Derby.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we're always thinking, the Derby.
Okay, so the Single Six jackpot on Saturday, tomorrow. It starts around 3:50 in the afternoon. The weather is outstanding right now for a day at the races, 90 degrees. It's a little warm. But, you know, the beer is very cold out here at the 700 Central Avenue.
John Asher Way.
That is, at John Asher Way. That's right. 3:50 is what time the Single Six jackpot kicks off. Seventh race. We've got a great sequence for bettors. I don't know if you saw yesterday at Gulfstream Park, their jackpot went down for $3.1 million. They were supposed to have their force out on Sunday. It's going to come up short. But, I know in their sequences sometimes, throw in some maiden claimers that nobody's seen, some first-timers, etc. Ben, you have really carded a outstanding sequence. Of course, we've got three stakes races in there. But we started off with a first-level allowance for three-year-olds and up, going a mile on the turf. We also have a 5.5-furlong turf sprint that we'll get to later, and then a mile turf maiden special weight as the finale. Some grass racing, some sprints. This is a great little sequence, so they've all drawn full fields.
No doubt. Thank you for that, Darren. But no, this I think it's a difficult. We've got a little bit of everything, is what I'm trying to say.
And you're laughing and giggling a little bit because you came into my office about a week ago laughing at how easy it has been to fill these cards.
Well, I wouldn't say easy. However, the vibe has been different this spring. We certainly had more horses in the area. We certainly had more trainers between here, Trackside, Keeneland, and Ellis Park's barn area has been open for 6 weeks. So the purse money got everyone's attention. And because we have more trainers and horses in the entire area, Kentucky, it's helping. And, our field size went up this meet. And we hustled a little bit this meet, but in the past, the spring's always difficult to fill races when all the other tracks are opening. But it was kind of nice this spring to where I'll never say easy.
Yeah, you gotta make it look like you're working just a little bit. But we're at, I think, gonna end right about 8.5 horses per race, which is,
I'm thrilled
for the
about
spring.
That.
That's huge. That's up meet, half a horse.
Yeah, for a spring meet with all the other tracks going, I mean, I couldn't be happier. And I expected the field size to go up. Mm-hmm. Wasn't positive because sometimes you never know when the older horses that run all winter, they might need a break. And a lot of times the barn area gets a few two-year-olds and we'd like mm-hmm. that aren't ready. But it just worked this spring, and it was very, very nice.
Yeah, and it's actually probably, you know, it's felt larger than that because – quite frankly, it started off a little slow because for the first time, Oaklawn Park was running until Derby Day.
No question.
So we had a lot of late arrivals this year from the Oaklawn scene. So,
no question.
Anyway, okay, the seventh race, a mile on turf, and we've got a mild 9-2 favorite in here for Ian Wilkes. Actually, the favorite's Battle of Memphis, the 8 for Mark Cassie, but Mark Cassie with Battle of Memphis and Ian Wilkes with Rise the Guy, they have the two morning line favorites in here. Rise the Guy is going to be trying turf for the first time. It's always been interesting to tough to take a horse doing at a short price doing something for the first time.
And especially, I think, this horse a little bit too, because I do think, you know, they thought highly of him early on in his career, and I do think that he just found the field last time out where he sports an off-the-turf victory that day, that he just found the type of competition that he needed. Granted, it was Baden Special Weight Company, and he aired that day, but the type of horses that were left in that field for an off-the-turf event, I do think suited him a lot better than I think we'll see with a couple of other competitors that are in this race of the fields that they've been facing. So, you know, if you're playing this single six, you know, a reminder, this race is on the grass, but the rail will be down for turf racing tomorrow. It was up the previous 2 days, but it'll be down on lane one on the hedge. And so it should be a fast and firm condition tomorrow. But this is a race, Darren, where if I'm starting a single six, I'm probably using three or four of these in my ticket just because I'm really not confident on any one of these horses in this race.
Who are the three or four that you'd look to use? Like one of the ones I'm looking at that stands out to me, I'm a guy who uses my Brisnet past performances, but I also love the Thoroughgraph speed figures. And St. Denman looks like he's pretty strong in here for the two, Brendan Walsh, ridden by Tyler Gaffalion.
Yeah, I think he's definitely one to use in this race. I'm also using Haunt for Bill Mott. Probably would throw in Battle of Memphis for Mark Cassie. And the horse on the outside for Connor Murphy, Speed Gun, is a little bit intriguing in here. He just ran for 40 last time out, but I do think that with James Graham, maybe has some tactical speed from that outside. I think he'll go a little bit faster than he did in the last race, and you're getting 12-1. I think maybe a bit of a long shot to throw into the sequence.
Got anybody to add in there, Ben, that's kind of caught your eye a little bit?
Well, now let's be clear here. Racing officials cannot wager.
No, that's correct.
So
correct.
I'm probably going to be the least impressive handicapper here. But
no, you often hear things, and you as a racing secretary, you know, sometimes you have to monitor these things.
I like number 10, Salvador Monday.
Okay.
McPeak, second start back. This horse ran against some really good two-year-olds last fall on the turf. He's got one race under his belt and off the turf race. I think the turf course, it's hot. I think the turf course is really firm. I think they're going to be going fast up front. I think this guy will be coming late.
Okay, so number 10, Salvador Monday, in the first leg of the single six for Ben Huffman. Actually, he's who he's keeping an eye on. We go to the stakes race now, the first of three stakes races on Saturday. And we've got the Kelly's Landing Overnight Stakes. We drew a field of 9, but can you believe this? The house horse is going to scratch. Warriors Club is most likely going to be out tomorrow because he is going to attempt the Grade 2 John Nayrud at Belmont Park, which is a Breeders' Cup winning year-in race, and they're going to try and scoop up a winning year-in type of play that they think might be a little soft. We'll see if it comes up soft. They could have been the favorite in their own back door. That's a whole different discussion. But this race in here, I'm leaning towards the 7 Petrov a little bit for Ron Moquette.
This horse is interesting. He's been doing very well in the mornings, breezing. I've been a fan of his training. This race, simply in my sequence, I'm keying in on the number 9 Transatlantic Kiss for Greg Foley, who we talked a little bit about earlier in the show. If this horse can run back to that performance last time out, it was extremely impressive. And you're seeing now he's a 5-year-old. He's getting better. I think he likes this track here at Churchill. And to me, I don't think we're going to get 8-1, especially with the scratch of Warriors Club, who was 5-2 on the line. You'll probably get a little bit less of that, maybe in half at 4-1, because I do think there's a little bit of steam on this horse. But to me, this is who I'm keying around in my single six sequence.
Ben Huffman, who's caught your eye?
I'm same horse as Kevin. Transatlantic Kiss. I think he is coming into his own now. I think he's about ready to. He could be taking off. I really think he's got a good shot of win here.
Looks like he's going to be very close to that pace. California Knight, the late supplement in there. He might be winging it on the front end. By the way, keep in mind, speed has been very well on the main track, as has the inside rail. We go now to the 9th race. This is a fun race. I love anytime the old timer, number 2 undrafted, shows back up. What an old pro for Wesley Ward. He's a 9-time winner from 40 starts, a $1.5 million earner. It's not going to be easy. We've got Will Call in here. He's a nice price at 10-1. Guys, who KK, who are you leaning to in the allowance race 9 at Churchill, leg 3 of the single six jackpot?
You know, as handicappers, I think we always have to, you know, talk about our strengths and our weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses are turf sprints. It's just one of those that you just really can't, for me personally, keep get an eye on and get a track. So always in turf sprints and any sort of wagers that I'm going in, I'm going to spread. And so I think Ohm on the outside.
The horse to beat, but what a bad draw.
Horse to beat. I do think a price to maybe throw in here is the number 10 Jazzy Times for Wes Hawley. Although it probably was got the benefit of the rail last time out with Gabe Saez up. I do think this horse has been doing extremely well in the morning and ran a great race last time out, even though probably was in the best position on the lead. And so that second place finish maybe brought him up a little bit with the way that the course was, but maybe one to throw into the mix at 15-1.
I'll give you another one that I'm going to, a couple other, you said spread. I'm going to use Battle Station because I think he's the fastest drawn on the inside. Dundee's also going to be forwardly placed as well, but Battle Station with Julio Garcia. Julio Garcia and Wesley Ward, when they team up, Julio has to be nearing 100 years old. I mean, I'm just saying, I remember Julio when I was a kid growing up in Southern California before I worked in this industry, and unfortunately I'm old and fat now. So Julio's, anyway, he's an old pro, and he wins at a high percentage whenever he connects with Wesley. Another long shot, Totally Boss, for Rusty Arnold and Tyler Bays. He's got a strong look for me in the spread race. Ben, what about you?
The first thing about this race that jumps out to me is a couple of the old class horses. Undrafted, million, almost $1.6 million in earnings, and Ohm on the outside, $1.1 million. Totally chock full of class here with these guys. This is a very difficult race to handicap. I've always been a fan of the Anguston. I thought he ran some tremendous races last year, especially in the fall against the older horses, and he loves Churchill Downs. I kind of have an affinity for him.
Yep. 2 for 5 here.
Undrafted, loves this track also. He is 9 years old, though, so I'm not sure what I think about that, but I'd probably go with Anguston and Totally Boss, 2 for 2 this year. He looks like another horse that could kind of take another step to the next level.
So if you're listening carefully in this 20-cent single six jackpot sequence, we're going to be using a lot of horses probably if you're combining all three of our discussions. So let's move on to the stakes. We've got a few minutes left in the show. The debutante Steve Asmussen looks pretty alive in here, KK.
Yeah, you know, just the way that this horse ran last time.
Magic Dance.
I do have to give Pat Byrne a little bit of credit with Indy Takes Charge, who's a daughter of Take Charge Indy. I do think that she's coming into this race pretty good, the way that she's been doing in the mornings. The one horse that I'm sort of against in here that's a California shipper is Cholula Lips for Mike Harrington. This horse, just to me, is just going to go, go, go. She wears blinkers, a shadow roll. She trains the last couple of days. Like, she likes to run off and be very aggressive. And so I do think if there's some challengers on the front end, going three quarters, not that four and a half, is a big difference in here. And so I'm playing a little bit against her in tomorrow's debutante.
Secretly Wicked's got to go. My Good Girl, you'd think, would go. Cholula Lips. I mean, there's a lot of speed in here. Magic Dance, I think, could be forwardly placed, but I think might just sit behind those and try to bounce. Ben, any hot opinion in the debutante?
Not really hot. This is just a really good race, difficult race, clearly to handicap Magic Dance. She's well-deserved of being the favorite. But I keep going back to Indy Takes Charge. I like the pedigree and the stretch out to six furlongs. I think she's going to sit right behind the hot pace. And I think she can maybe mow them down late.
That's the 10th race, the 11th race, the penultimate leg of the single six sequence. The Bashford Manor, 118th running, excuse me, a grade one, or I'm sorry, grade three race. I need my water. Take over, KK.
It's one of these races that always turns out to be very competitive year over year.
And I went Billy Reid on you there, didn't I?
You did go Billy Reid. We are in the South End.
Yeah, proudly we are.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, with Phantom Bosses and your 9-to-5 favorite shipping in from California, for George Parabon, who I met this week. George is a class individual. You know, it's one of these races where, you're going to have probably a couple of these that'll take a little bit of steam action on the tote board. Always someone's going to have a story in a 2-year-old race. You got Rowdy Yates on the far outside for Steve Asmussen. You got a Maiden Verb for Keith DeSormo, who's been doing well. This is a fun race to tackle.
Ben Huffman, how about you?
Boy, this is another difficult
it's a tough race to
pick. I kind of like Rowdy Yates in here as the winner. And believe it or not, there's a couple maidens I think that are going to run really good. Snell Yow, horses training over Keeneland with John Ennis. The horse is yet to have a dry, fast racetrack. And I know Johnny was really high on this colt in April, back in April. And I think first time dry racetrack, I have a feeling he's going to run really good. Same with Verb, the Keith DeSormo 2-year-old.
Yeah, he kind of shied away, think, from the rail last time. We got caught.
Yes.
Late showing speed. I think he will improve as well. Yeah.
But I'm pretty certain there. I think they're really high on Rowdy Yates also, I think. So that'd be my pick.
All right, let's squeeze in the last race of the sequence, a maiden race going a mile on the Matt Wynn turf course. And we've, you know, got a mix of some first-timers in here, but we've got some that have had the outs. Your 4-to-1 tepid morning line favorite, Alphonse Wald for Connor Murphy. Brian Hernandez is up. Just to his inside, Zip Your Lip is going to try turf for the first time, 6-to-1 with Corey Lannery. KK, how do you see this race?
You know, this was a split of an earlier race that Ben and his team had 32 entries get into this condition, which was just absolutely awesome. You got four horses on the also eligibles, very competitive. I'm leaning a little bit to Fireball John for Phil Bauer in here, who's a horse that I've seen do well in the morning, sports a 5/8 minute breeze last time out. I do think, you know, he had that off the turf race last time out, probably will like getting back on this turf course this afternoon. Think you need to throw in Alphonse Wald for Connor Murphy. And then Steve Asmussen is so dangerous in these types of races because you're seeing some horses in here that have some questionable past performances, and he sends a first-time starter, Icon, who's very regally bred, Tappet by Empire Maker on the bottom side. You know, debuting long on the turf is always just not my style, but I do think could be a little bit dangerous in here at a price.
Ben Huffman, how about you?
Boy, tough race to handicap. Everybody's got a chance, it looks like. A lot of turf pedigree in here. I'm kind of leaning towards number 2, My America. Rusty Arnold and Florent Giroux in the saddle. I think the favorite is a deserving favorite, Alphonse Wald. And then there's a horse on the outside I like a little bit, the 11, Big Beautiful Wall, Paul McGee, shortening up from a mile and eighth to a mile. I think that horse is probably going to run big.
It sounds like we're spreading.
Yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit to Zip Your Lip, returning to the turf for John Ortiz, but this is definitely going to be a race where my ticket is going to be spread. That's gonna wrap it up for the show. I can just tell you that right now. It's also going to wrap it up for the season. In fact, KK and I are going to go on hiatus just for a little bit. We're going to be back.
We're heading to the farm for a freshening.
We do. We need a freshening at the farm, but we're actually going to take the next 5 Fridays off. We're going to be back, I think it's Friday, August. Wait, that would be wrong. That's a real long freshening. No, August the 9th, I think it is. Just in advance of the Arlington Million. We're going to go on a little vacation at the end of this meet. But it's been a tremendous year out here at the Downs. We thank each and every one of you, for those of you that are listening to the show, all 3 or 4 of you. We wish you the best of luck to tackle that $300,000 jackpot in the single six tomorrow at Churchill Downs. That pool will swell to north of $1 million. Thanks to our special guest, Ben Huffman, racing secretary and vice president of racing at Churchill Downs. Thanks to Coop for running out the equipment. For Kevin Kirstein and Magic Mike back at the studio, I'm Darren Rogers. Thanks for listening to Inside Churchill Downs.